copy that station.
Yeah, M4JPK. M4JPK. I'm copying you probably about 5'8". I mean, you're coming in clear. I don't have any trouble copying you. There's a little bit of noise in the background, but you're fine. You're coming in. Jesse can't, I'm surprised you can't hear him. He's down in North Carolina.
Yeah, the last go-around I heard he was in Boone, North Carolina. So, yeah, I copied him the last go-around. He's getting better as the transmission gets longer. Anyway, hey, good evening. November 4, Juliet Papa Kilo. This is KG4ZXC. What's the name down there in North Carolina?
Okay, roger, roger, John.
Yeah, Boone, North Carolina. Yeah, I was born down in North Carolina, down back in the early days when they was making moonshine. Yeah, roger that. Yeah, you know exactly where I'm talking about. Anyway, good evening, sir. Are you going to stick around for our local, for the Liberty Net tonight there, Mr. John? Well, it's getting ready to start. You can check in and hang around and add a comment if you care to. It might not be a cup of tea, and then again, you might join right in and have something interesting to talk about. Okay, yeah, you're getting better on my receive, so yeah, I'm just a little bit north of Bill there. But anyway, thank you for coming by there, Mr. John. I'll put you down on number 3 on the list, and we'll get back around to you. All right, Bill, I'm going to get ready and call CQ here, and we'll see who else is out there. So it is 2200 hours, and this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net here on 33.995, and it is 9/5/2020. It is the 5th of September, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Wednesday, the Saturday Night Liberty Net. I am Kilo Golf 4 Zulu X-ray Charlie Jesse here in Pennsylvania. And we'll go ahead and open it up for check-ins. Anyone else out there, good evening.
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Uniform.
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Uniform. Name and location.
Lou Lima Oscar Uniform, New York. Kilo Charlie 2, it's Victor Uniform.
Okay, Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Uniform.
Roger, roger.
Okay, sorry about that. I've got the antenna in one direction. I should be listening on the other. All right, what was the name again?
Lou Lima Oscar Uniform Lou.
Oh, okay, Lou. Yeah, good to hear you in there tonight, and thanks for checking in with us. And you going to stick around there, Mr. Lou?
Roger, roger.
Well, thank you for that. You'll be number 4 on our list tonight. And thank you for coming by. Anyone else for the Saturday Night Liberty Net? Your call sign, please. Hi, calling CQ, calling CQ. This is the Saturday Night Liberty Net. It is a current event discussion net. I meet here on 2200 hours Wednesdays and Saturdays.
and I am Kilo Golf 4 Zulu X-ray Charlie, filling in for Mr. Bob tonight. Mr. Bob is in the process of trying to get his gear up and running, but had some technical issues, I think, but he's going to try to be in here later. Anyway, we'll take check-ins. Anyone else out there would like to stick around tonight and make a comment or two, please give me your call. Okay, I'll tell you what, not too bad of a noise factor tonight. A little bit of noise in the background, but not too bad. All right, give it one more whirl, and we'll take it to the top, and then we'll get the net going. So this is Kilo Golf 4 Zulu X-ray Charlie, Jesse here in Pennsylvania, your net control for this net tonight, filling in for Mr. Bob, K-8-J-O-N-O-Y. And we'll take check-ins. Anyone else out there before we start off? Well, I'm surprised I'm not hearing Mr. Larry yet, but I'm sure he'll jump in here in a little bit. All right, I thought I heard another station. Am I hearing things, or were they somebody else in there? Okay, I guess I'm hearing things. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Saturday Night Liberty Net. I am KG4ZXC, and this is the current event discussion net, of course. And I just wanted to start the net off with some of the activities and the crap that's been going on in our country today. And California has created a new bill. I can't remember the name of it. Don't have the article in front of me, but passing bills that give leeway to pedophilias and sex traffic sex offenders, I should say. And I tell you what, this article that I got in front of me tonight comes off of Big League Politics. Children programs about 12-year-old trans girl debut on BBC to normalize drugging and mutilating kids. So I'm going to go into this story a little bit later, but I just want people to understand that we need to take charge of our youth right now in this country and start making a point to defend off these evil people that's trying to take over our children and convert them to these twisted ideologies that's going on. But anyway, it's a crazy world we live in, guys, and everybody needs to be aware of that. All right, well, I'm going to take it up to Mr. I don't want to get started on this because it's a little bit long, and I want to take it up to Mr. Jim. Up in the state of Michigan, behind enemy lines, we're going to start off with K-8-I-N-E out of the state of Michigan. Mr. Jim, take it away, sir.
Yeah, somebody was just tuning up. Maybe there's another check-in. Do I try it?
Yeah, go ahead. This is KG4ZXC. Do we have a late check-in for the Liberty Net tonight? Your call sign, please. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and send it up to you there, Mr. Jim. So you start off the night with whatever you got prepared for us, and you have the deck, sir. K-8-I-N-E.
Yeah, I just got my copy out of the mailbox of the American Free Press. It used to be the Spotlight, which the feds shut down. So they just went across the street and started up under another name some years ago. And they're still the paragon of liberty as far as newspapers. Anyway, here's Michigan sheriffs, a model for lawmen. by Mark Anderson. Given the double trouble posed by COVID-19 and by rioters have simultaneously taken several major U.S. cities hostage amid calls to abolish police agencies, it's refreshing to see the difference that a man of principle can make when confronting the society's biggest problems head on. The man is Sheriff Dan Garleaf of Berry County, Michigan. He is among the few and proud sheriffs who are upholding the constitutional rights of their citizens while resisting tyranny in its many manifestations. This AFP writer first met Sheriff Leaf at a July 25 convention of the U.S. Taxpayers Party in Michigan, the state affiliate of the National Constitution Party in Corona, Michigan. It was there that he outlined the basic tenets of a militia and established under the U.S. Constitution. Everyone's demonizing militias when it's simply about self-defense and defense of the land. He lamented while speaking with this writer. Sheriff Leaf also spoke of the August 14th Thin Blue Line rally, which was one of the many appearances he made in public rallies to take a stand against the anti-police sentiment that's been gummed up by dumbed-down Marxists and protesters across the nation. He believes it is extremely important to stand up for the rights of the people, especially now. The harsh coronavirus measures meted out by Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer have been taking a heavy toll on the Great Lakes state economy and the people. From his appearance on Fox News nationally to interviews on local TV networks, Sheriff Reeve has been educating the people and the media on the principles that undergird our liberties. He continues to look out for the people's rights, not simply carry out the governor's arbitrary orders. I'm also trying to educate police officers on the people's rights, he told AFP. Everywhere I go to speak, the left and most media try to label me as a racist, while our rights are for all. Sheriff Thief often hears the refrain that it's up to judges to decide whether laws are fair or constitutional. But he responds by noting that too many judges have become activists rather than objective interpreters of the Constitution, and modern prosecutors generally protect bad judges and bad governors. Police officers and such should not be the automatons who just follow orders. Rather, they should have some business knowledge of the Constitution and legal principles and act accordingly. I guess they all take their oath to defend it, don't they? If we know a law is not as lawful, we have a duty not to enforce it, he said. A real-life example among many was Leaf's refusal to enforce Governor Whitmer's edict earlier in the summer that people could not take their boats on the waters due to COVID-19. Leave insisted that people have a basic right to mobility, and besides, it would have lower domestic complaint calls if married couples weren't cooped up all day. He also says it's healthy to get fresh air and sunshine and an activity where social distancing is easy to achieve by its very nature. At May 18th, America Patriots rally, Sheriff speaks out. Anti-lockdown rallies in Grand Rapids, which included peaceful protesters carrying AR-15. Reeves told a reporter that his measure is always constitutional law. Thus, when asked by the reporter whether he thinks Governor Whitmer had gone too far with stay-at-home orders, he replied, constitutionally, yes. He summarized, we don't even know if those orders are legal. If you go look at some of the federal calls and we start enforcing stuff that's not legal, we could be held liable, and the penalty, 3 times the damages, plus reasonable attorney fees. So if we shut down a business and they're losing $100,000 a year, we might be responsible for $300,000 plus the legal fees. That's where law enforcement is in a kind of rock and a hard place type position right now. As AFP, American Free Press, goes to press, groups like Unlock Michigan, whose members have released remarks at various rallies are petitioning to gather enough valid signatures of registered voters to send the legislator a veto-proof measure that would undercut the 1945 law on which Governor Whitmer has mainly based her executive orders. In addition, the 1976 Emergency Measure Act, Act 390, only permits Michigan government to pass an executive order for 28 days, beyond which the legislator approval for expansion is required. Chief, we are simply a member of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, founded by former Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack, is on the front line doing what police are supposed to do, only enforce laws that are constitutionally sound, while also protecting the health and safety of the citizenry. The Sheriff League does not oppose reasonable, common sense masking, social distancing, and sanitary guidance, but he has confidence that people will voluntarily do the right thing for their health and the health of others. He firmly believes that the citizenry should not be economically devastated and politically oppressed by power-hungry leaders who too often consider constitutional rights to be a virus that must be eradicated. God bless this man. Yeah, Sheriff Mack is a guy of Constitutional Peace Officers Association. He started that, and he's going around the country for years helping people that are in trouble like that. He helped the bomb farmer up at the they so terrorized the family that he wimped out on the deal there. The guy that ran the farm there. They just attacked that man terribly. And a whole bunch of us militia went up there several times to support him. But anyway, with this election coming up, or maybe never an election, I wonder if there's a prophecy. Andre Peel spoke with our Lord many times about this prophecy, the 3 days of darkness. You could look it up on the internet. I'm sure there's something on the internet. I don't have the internet, but I know that prophecy is an old one, and some people say, well, it's old. Yes, our Lord gives you a lot of time to think about it. And the latest one, it would not go to 90 below zero. It'll be 55 degrees around the world during that time. Anyway, K-E-A-D-I-N-E, let me give somebody else a chance. K-E-A-D-I-N-E, back to Ness.
Okay, thank you there, Mr. Jim. Very well put, and you're absolutely correct. We all need to be aware of the situation that's surrounding us right now today. And thank you for that information. I tell you what, it's tough. And with that being said, thank you there, Jim, K-E-A-I-N-E, behind Emory Lines in the great state of Michigan. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, this is KG4ZX Tennessee, taking it down to KO4FE, Mr. Bill, out of southern Pennsylvania. Go ahead and take it away, sir.
Yeah, okay, KG4ZXC in the Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Jesse, well, the band's already starting to go long. You've dropped from about 25 or 30 over down to F9, so I'm going to assume the people that are further away from us can hear. That's usually the way it's been working. I've been listening to Paul's recordings, and he usually uses an SDR that's further away, and the copy is fine, so even though we can't hear each other because we're only a couple hundred miles apart, I'm going to assume other people can hear us. So anyway, getting into the news, I guess everyone has read about the marshals and the Oregon State Police took out that guy, that Michael Reynolds, that shot that Trump supporter. Boy, I'll tell you, that guy's a real piece of work. But anyway, I got an article here, V-Dare. It's written by John Derbyshire, and I'll read some of it, but it'll give you an idea what kind of people we're dealing with in these Black Lives Matters, Antifa, protests and riots. I've never seen a more motley crew of criminals, drug addicts, ne'er-do-wells, misfits, hate-crazed fanatics, just crazy degenerates. Plus, then you throw in a layer of lying, corrupt politicians, and I'll tell you what, it's a real mess. But anyway, getting back to John Derbyshire, he says, as I start writing here on Friday morning, the news headline is that Michael Reinhold was killed Thursday evening in a shootout with cops who were trying to arrest him. It seems that no one else was hurt in the shootout. It was, as our own inimitable Steve Saylor observes, mostly peaceful. Reinhold was, by his own confession in an interview with Vice, published earlier the same day, the person who shot dead an unarmed Trump supporter in Portland, Oregon last Saturday. The rioting anarchists of Antifa and Black Lives Matter may be in the service of a cynical elite hoping to bring down Trump and restore a happier state of affairs for globalist, corporatist neoliberalism. They may, like Robespierre and Trotsky, however, end up under the guillotine themselves. But when I get a glimpse of their actual personalities, they are in the true revolutionary mold, like the Russian and Chinese revolutionaries in the late 19th and early 20th century. We actually have quite a few specimens now. Reinhold was a dedicated supporter of Black Lives Matter with their clenched fist symbol tattooed on his neck. He'd been arrested and cited in July for possessing a loaded gun in a public place and interfering with police and resisting arrest. Before that, in June, he got a failure to appear warrant issued against him. Charges there were driving under the influence of a controlled substance, recklessly endangering another. Further details on that, he was pulled over for driving over 110 miles an hour with his 10-year-old daughter in the car. He was under the influence of drugs, too. Continuing on, unlawful possession of a gun and driving while suspended and uninsured. And I read the car had no tags. He claimed to be a professional snowboarder, but the firm he named says they never employed or sponsored him. He claimed to be an Army veteran and a military contractor, but the Army has no record of him. In other words, he's a pathological liar. His sister disowned him some time ago for stealing his grandmother's medications. Then there's 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum, the first of the three people shot in self-defense by Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was a convicted child rapist. Court documents from 2002 reproduced on the internet list a range of sex crimes against several boys from the ages of 9 to 11 years old, including outright rape. His prison record shows 40 disciplinary infractions for arson, disobeying orders, manufacturing a weapon, refusing to work. This guy was a real no-goodnik. Anthony Huber, the other guy killed by Rittenhouse, was only 26, but he already had quite a rap sheet going back to at least 2016. Possession of drug paraphernalia and a whole host of charges under the heading of domestic abuse, including strangulation, suffocation, false imprisonment, battery, and disorderly conduct. The guy Kyle Rittenhouse shot but did not kill was Gage Paul Grosskreutz, also 26. He's been comparatively well-behaved, convicted of a criminal misdemeanor in 2016 for going armed with a firearm while intoxicated and some nuisance offenses. So anyway, some of these four anarchists who chanced to have come to our close attention, every one could fairly be described as a misfit. These are not normal, stable people. Revolutionaries hardly are. One of them from the 19th century, Sergei Natchev, Russian, of course, supposed to have been the model for Verkhovanovsky in Dostoevsky's novel Demons. He was described as a revolutionary, as a doomed man. He has no private interests, no affairs, sentiments, ties, property, nor even a name of his own. His entire being is devoured by one purpose, one thought, one passion, the revolution. Heart and soul, not merely by word, but by deed. He has severed every link with the social order and with the entire civilized world, with the laws, good manners, conventions, and morality of that world. He is its merciless enemy and continues to inhabit it only for one purpose, to destroy it. So anyway, I think that was described way back in 1869, these characters that are involved in this Black Lives Matter Antifa. Next article, getting back to this Reinhold, he had claimed in the interview that he was trying to, he acted in self-defense when he shot the Trump supporter, that he was defending a brother of color. Well, anyway, that was another one of his lies. Here's a headline, Seattle Times, Portland shooting suspect followed right-wing activists after spotting them downtown, unsealed arrest warrant says. Prosecutors in Oregon released a recently unsealed court document Friday alleging that self-described anti-fascist Michael Reinhold hid in a parking garage before following two supporters of the right-wing Patriot Prayer Group after spotting them during street protests last weekend. Moments later, the records allege Reinhold shot and killed one of the men, Aaron J. Danielson. The records were made public a day after a fugitive task force fatally shot Reinhold near Lacey, Thurston County. The records include a sworn statement by a Portland police detective that shows video surveillance footage taken from a parking garage and other information support that Reinhold, 48, who has said in previous interviews that he worked security for Black Lives Matter protests, shot and killed Danielson, 39, after seeing him and a friend walking downtown amid protests on August 29th. Just before 8:45 p.m. that day, the garage video captured Reinhold as he spotted Danielson and Chandler Pappas, also an avowed supporter of the far-right Patriot Prayer Group, walking behind him on Southwest 3rd Avenue just south of Alder Street. Portland Police Detective Rico Beniga wrote in a probable cause affidavit, Reinhold soon ducked into the parking garage of the Moda Tower, waiting until the two men passed by, the statement said. At the time they passed by, the video showed Danielson appeared to be holding a can in his right hand and what appeared to be an expandable baton in his left hand. Beniga's statement says, seconds later, Reinhold emerged from the garage and followed the men as they crossed the street, with Reinhold reaching toward the pocket or pouch on his waistband, the detective wrote. The shooting occurred shortly thereafter and is not captured on a surveillance video. Reinhold is captured briefly on the footage with his right hand or right arm armed or raised as he is facing towards Danielson. He is then seen running north, the statement says. Danielson was shot in the chest and died at the scene. Investigators later recovered a baton and a bullet-damaged bear spray canister from the street near Danielson's body. They also recovered a loaded gun from Danielson's waistband, Benega affidavit said. So anyway, the detective statement, which also details how police used photos and video footage of Portland's other protests to help identify Reinhold as the shooter and help police obtain a warrant from the Multnomah County Court on Wednesday for Reinhold's arrest on second-degree murder and illegal gun possession charges. A day later, Reinhold was killed amid a hail of gunfire after a fugitive task force tried to apprehend him outside an apartment complex near Lacey. So anyway, this guy was lying. He claimed he was acting in self-defense, and here the video footage and the police show that he was stalking these guys, hiding behind corners, hiding in doorways, waiting for them to pass before he made his attack. This guy was just a piece of crap, a useless, good for nothing. Okay, here's another one. This is just another example of the media's lies and politicians lying also. They kept
standing by station. We'll get to you as
they kept saying all
these
white supremacists and white nationalists and the KKK are instigating these riots. Well, that was a total lie, but anyway, they went with it. But then here's an article from the Star Tribune. It says questions remain about attacks reported by white supremacists during George Floyd riots. Another hoax, basically. Late one night, a few weeks after George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis police, a loud knocking came on Jaquita Morris's door. Two of her sons tumbled into the family's north side home. Her annoyance turned to shock, then anger, when the boys, 19 and 14, told her they were waiting for a bus to their older brother's house when they saw two white men wearing all-white KKK gear appeared from behind a bush, and they started running after the terrified teenagers before they reached safety. Yeah, I'm sure that really happened. The KKK, you know, is all over the place. I mean, how can you drive anywhere without seeing a couple KKK guys dressed up in their all-white uniforms hiding behind bushes? Yeah, I'm sure this story is not an ounce of truth to this baloney. Anyway, continuing with the news article, as South Minneapolis was enveloped in protests, riots, and looting in the wake of Floyd's May 25 death, authorities received dozens of similar reports of racial attacks, harassment, and vandalism, many of which were centered on the predominantly black north side. There was confusion about whether outside influence was present in the days after Floyd's death, when state officials gave conflicting accounts of whether the suspected agitators came from the ranks of white supremacists exploiting the rage over Floyd's death, or left-wing anarchists bent on turning the anger towards their ends of discrediting the police. Local authorities have opened investigations into several racially motivated incidents, like the case of the Umbrella Man, who police believe has ties to the Hells Angels and Aryan Cowboy Brotherhood motorcycle gangs, and was seeking to incite racial tensions when he was recorded smashing out the window of an auto parts store that later went up in flames. The case could wind up in federal jurisdiction. So the best they can come up with is one guy they call the Umbrella Man, who they think is connected with some motorcycle gang, breaking one window. What's that compared to the 14,000 leftists who have been arrested during these riots? Anyway, continuing, Minneapolis Police Department spokesman John Elder said no statistics on race-related offenses were kept, but investigators had sorted through reported crimes and incidents after Floyd's death looking for patterns or trends. There are no such patterns, Elder said, while adding that some cases remain open and under investigation. Of the dozens of people charged so far with crimes related to the riots, none have been publicly linked to white nationalist groups. In other words, it's another hoax. The threat posed by far-right, neo-Nazi, and white nationalist groups has captured headlines of late. In light of protests that turned deadly in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, where protests have been ongoing since Floyd's death, Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo said his department received information from federal law enforcement partners suggesting that the post-Floyd unrest might draw groups, quote, with the sole purpose of harming or committing violence on African Americans, unquote. He said, we certainly heard there may be extremist groups up here to cause harm to our African American community. And he said in a recent interview, at the height of the protests, State Public Safety Commissioner John Harrigan said he was dubious about the reports of crazy stuff about the Klan marching down the street, saying that some of it looks like it was deliberately planted as disinformation. A spokesman said this week that state authorities had received no new information that would suggest otherwise. So in other words, it's another damn hoax. It's all leftist, communist, hate-crazed lunatics, misfits, criminals, drug addicts, and other idiots. There's no white nationalist, Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists, neo-Nazis. They can't find one case outside of a rumor that one guy that broke a window supposedly was connected with a motorcycle gang. That's the best they can come up with out of all these riots. But yet the media has run with this baloney. So anyway, back to you, Jesse. KG4ZXC and the Liberty Net. This is KO4FE.
Okay, KO4FE. Yeah, we had some serious band shifting there at first, but then the signal started picking up tremendously once again. So thanks, Bill. Yeah, very good and interesting reports there. All right, let me take a quick standby to see if we have any late check-ins before we move on down to Mr. John. N4JPK, you're on the deck out of Boone, North Carolina, so stand by 1 second and we'll get to you. Any other late check-ins for the Liberty Net here on the Saturday night edition?
2-0, Victor Romeo Tango. Name is Bill, Joplin, Missouri.
Okay, I heard one in Missouri. Victor Romeo Tango. Give me your full call again.
2-0, Victor Romeo Tango.
Okay, and what was the name?
Name is Bill, Bravo, India, Lima, Lima, and I'm in Joplin, Missouri.
Did you say Bill?
QSL.
Okay, Bill. A little bit light on me right now, but not too bad. So anyway, I got you in there, sir. You'll be number 5 on our list here. There's a couple more in front of you. If you stick around for a comment, yeah, that'd be great. Okay, roger. All right. Clear with Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango, Mr. Bill out of Missouri. Who was the other station?
AD2, DPP, Kilo Delta 2, Delta Papa.
Okay, slow it down a little bit. Little light copy on you guys, but I'm pulling you out. You just got to slow it down a little bit on the call.
Okay, my friend, I will do it. It's Kilo Delta 2, Delta Papa, Handle with Walker.
Okay, one more time. Kilo Delta, and that's where I lost it.
All right, Kilo Delta 2. Kilo Delta 2, Delta, papa, papa. Roger, roger.
Okay, Kilo Delta 2, Delta, papa. Got you in there, sir.
Thank you very much. Analyst Walker from New York.
Okay, out of New York. What was the name again?
Analyst Walker.
Give it to me, phonetic.
All right, Whiskey Adam Lincoln, Tom Edward Robert Walker.
Okay, roger, roger. I think I got it that time. Let me go ahead and get you on the list. You'll be number six. So KD2 Delta Papa out of New York, stand by. And anyone else? Okay, I'm going to go on up to Mr. John out of North Carolina, Boone, North Carolina, that is. N4JPK, come on in if you're still with us. Okay, I'm not hearing John, so we're going to move it down the list to Mr. Lou, KC2, Victor Victor Uniform. Out of New York. Come on in if you're still with us, sir.
Roger, roger. Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, great net tonight. Speak a little bit about the unrest that's happening in New York. Rochester, New York. There was an incident that happened back in March where an individual was running down the street naked, busting out windows, and I guess his brother called the police to pick him up. So, of course, the police showed up, and the guy is flying a kite. It was reported during the arrest that he might have been high on PCP. So, he starts sitting on the police, and they put a hood over his face because he said he had coronavirus. And he ended up dying 7 days later. The body and the police really looked confused because they didn't know how to handle a person on PCP. It's just something that I guess police are supposed to be all focused and everything, and it just doesn't work like that. This guy was really high. He was having really bad mental episodes. He started screaming and yelling. Really a shame. You know, being a police officer is really a thankless job. It really is. So, of course, BLM decides to hold a protest in Rochester, New York, and the media gets on saying it's peaceful, it's peaceful. Well, what the media didn't report is that the protesters, Antifa and BLM, decided to descend on restaurants where people were sitting down having their supper, and they were knocking over the chairs and tables and disrupting and kicking the patrons out of the restaurants. Now, this is not peaceful. This is anarchy. This is something that is immediate. Because Rochester is a left-wing, democratic-run city, they allow that type of behavior, which should never be tolerated. Now, if you look at most of these so-called civil rights protests, very little to do about the issues that they're really concerned about. Maybe police and community relations. This is all about rioting, looting, burning, stealing, disrupting, breaking the peace, anything they can get away with. Because, you see, when you begin to watch these videos, there's one thing they all have in common. These are really dregs of society. These individuals are just doing a bit of They have a license to do it under a protest that happened over an individual that was high, on drugs, was apprehended, and died 7 days later in the hospital. Unbelievable what's going on. This has got to come to an end. New York is really in a state of anarchy. It really is. And President Trump is correct to withhold federal funds unless laws are being enforced. But you see, the party in power, which is hard left Democrat, is a one-party rule in New York, which it is, and they appease the most far left extremists, and I mean extremists of their party. They put them to the forefront and they cater to their issues, while, you know, 16 million other people get left behind. Now, I don't blame people for fleeing New York. I agree with it, because what's happening is when you have a state of anarchy, a state of unrest, a state of license to loot, anarchism, to just do about anything without no repercussions whatsoever, people don't want to live under those conditions. No sane person wants to live under those conditions. So back in that, this is KC2VVU.
Well, Mr. Luce, that was a great, great comment there, because, you know, you're absolutely correct, sir. KC2VVU, Mr. Lou, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, nobody wants to live under that kind of tyranny action going on, and as long as they keep getting any kind of leeway whatsoever, they're going to continue the same process one way or the other. And I pray to God that this president is reelected and under the right circumstances, with, you know, without this voter fraud meddling chaos that they've been predicting for some time. So I pray that that don't happen. Thanks, Mr. Lou. I hope you stick around for round number two. Always a pleasure hearing from you. Okay, we're moving it down to Mr. Bill, KE0 Victor Romeo Tango. Bill, out of Missouri, you have the deck, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. This is KE0 Victor Romeo Tango. I just wanted to make a comment about that story that that gentleman was saying earlier on the news article there about the white supremacists and stuff. I've got kind of a suspicion that there is white supremacists in the Black Lives Matter movement. Yeah, the skinheads that are usually in prison and stuff, they're working together, I believe. You know, BLM is not a civil rights movement. It's a communist movement. So it's not really a deal about race. And as far as the crazy kids and stuff, I know in my area here in Joplin, Missouri, BLM seems to be targeting kids that are, you know, outcast. They're socially awkward. They've got mental illnesses. And they lure them in, you know, just the prospect of being friends with them. And I find it really sickening what's going on everywhere. And, well, that's pretty much all I have to say. So, get in, and thank you for letting me get in there and make my comment. This is Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. Back to you.
Okay, well, good deal. Yeah, Mr. Bill, you I believe you're correct too. I think there's some white supremacists out there. I'm not going to deny that by any means. I think they're kind of mixed in the group among different people just to see what they can get away with all at the same time. But I believe half of these people are being paid by some outside source. Like Soros, or maybe the BLM are paying them. The city in some way is embezzling money. And, yeah, it's amazing what we're dealing with. But it's up to the American people to start taking a stand and protect the city, protect their homes and their families and everything else, because it's going to come down to it. The next 60 days is going to be completely chaos up until the election. And then when the election hits, hang on, guys. That's all I can say there. Thanks, Mr. Bell. KE0 Victor Romeo Tango. I hope you stick around for the next comment as well.
Sure will.
Alright, KD2 Delta Papa, Mr. Walter out of New York. Good evening, sir. You have the deck.
Thank you very much, KD2 from New York. I think it's these people who are out there. Everybody should stop and smell the coffee, because you can't do society. They're going to try to change this world to a new world order. And another thing, I think that mail-in ballots is ridiculous. They should just do the polls and stuff. I think they're going to really cheat on this mail-in ballot for the election. If not, we're going to probably find out who's going to win if they cheat. Back to you, KDQ-DPP, Walter from New York.
Okay, well, thank you there, Mr. Walter. And, yeah, you know, that's something I've been trying to tell people that, you know, these mail-in ballots are, you know, it is a good thing, but, you know, you got to match the ballots and all the votes in each state together to get the right amount of people that are in the census itself. And that's what we need to be focusing on. If there's 100,000 people in this state, then 100,000 people or less should be voting. If 200,000 mail-in ballots come in, hey, you know there's something wrong. So at least 100,000 should be discarded. And that's the way I feel about the mail-in ballot. Anyway, thanks, Mr. Walters. Good to hear you in there tonight. Hope you stick around as well. And good comments all the way around from everybody. So KD2, Delta, Papa, out of New York, Mr. Walter, thank you, sir. And this is KG4ZXC, Jesse here in the state of Pennsylvania. And let's take a quick standby, see if we have any other check-ins for tonight's Liberty Net here on 3.995. Anyone else? W0, give me that call again, a little bit slower.
W0, Mexico, Yankee, Quebec.
Okay, Mexico, Yankee, Quebec. Name and location.
Yes,
yes, my call is Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie, Jesse, and I'm over here in the western side of, northwest side of Pennsylvania.
Okay,
yeah. One more time, you asked for my call?
Roger.
Okay, sorry about that. It's Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie. Anyway, Mr. Byron, you're at the bottom of the list right now. Do you want to make a comment before I take it to the top?
Okay, thanks, Frank. I was curious to present the update on how he's doing. Yeah, I hope he's just fine, okay. And I guess everybody heard that just past the if they don't win by a landslide, I don't see it.
Okay, Roger Byron here. You're absolutely correct. I heard the same thing from different outlets. And mainly it's not from the mainstream because you don't hear nothing from the news media. But I will say this much. Zuckerberg, Facebook, whatever you want to call it, that dang Zuckerberg, he put out $250 million to help support the balloting of integrity. Do you believe that crap? George Soros both. So you know the deck is stacked against everybody here in the American system. And we all need to be aware of it and expect, pray for the best and expect the worst.
All right,
thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Good to hear you in there, and I hope you stick around for the next round. And we'll take it to the top. Mr. Dim, behind enemy lines in the state of Michigan. Back up to you, sir.
Again, to all those on the Liberty Net, and thanks for taking your time to join us. We need more people to get involved. Self-government is not a spectator sport. If we don't all get involved, we're going to lose it, and we're losing it rapidly the way things are going here. Anyway, I've got some good website, tldm.org, that's Thomas Lima Delta Mike.org. That was 25 years for our Lord talking to a lady in New York, condemned by the rats in the Vatican, and they had a stooge in Paul VI's place for the worst anti-pope in history. Now we got one that actually that's all for the New World Order. Benedict was good, John Paul II was good, John Paul I was good, was poisoned. Actually, John Paul II was poisoned in the end. And Pius XII was poisoned in 1958, and the seamy side of masonry took over the Vatican. And there's some good coming out of it, but not much. Anyway, there's a prophecy, this Padre Pio in Italy, he had the wounds of Christ, and he suffered on Good Friday. They bled excessively, and he could read a soul. He could bilocate. Some of the flyers were flying over his town in Italy, and he appeared in the clouds and said, "Don't bomb my town." Well, one of the pilots, when he landed, he mentioned it to a boy there, and he says, "Oh, that's Padre Pio. I can take you to him." He went there, and is that the guy? And he says, "Yes." Well, anyway, our Lord talked to him about a 3 days of darkness prophecy. And usually in the 30s, and even before probably, I don't know, he talked to him several times how it may end. He may, it's a copy, kind of like history repeating itself, the blood of the Lamb. If you didn't mark your door with the blood of the Lamb, you were, the avenging angels were allowed to slaughter you. And today it's to put a cross or a crucifix on your doors. And there's other things to it. Light a blessed candle that'll last. Church candles will last 5 to 7 days, so that takes care of that. And the latest update is it would be 55 degrees around the world during that time, because a lot of thought that we'd have to really bundle up after 3 days of no light. There'd be 90 degrees below, but that's not supposed to be the case. But our Lord keeps updating it through holy people. The last one, she didn't want to do it because she was ill. Our Lord said, "You have to." She put it out on the internet, and it got further down to me. I would check that out. I'm sure you can find it on the internet. I don't have the internet myself. It's called the 3 Days of Darkness Prophecy. And if this thing goes into a thing where the Chinese are supposed to be on our borders, and northern border and southern border, it may be happen, or it might be a nuclear war. We don't know. There's several. All prophecy can be put off by prayer, not necessarily forever. There's one prophecy that a rock will hit the earth and knock it out of orbit, and two-thirds of the people will be dead when it's over. So we don't know, and we leave it to our Lord, and pray. I don't care what religion you are, pray. I mean, they have to destroy all of Christianity, and they're really trying to do it. And poisoning five popes since 1958 kind of tells you something there. And a stooge in Paul VI's place, which was the worst anti-pope of history. So that's my perspective. I know there are a lot of other perspectives. perspectives out there, people of other persuasion, but it's worth checking out. K-E-8-I-N-E, back to that, and thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jim, thank you, and we will definitely keep praying, because we need it more than ever now, more than ever before. Thank you, Jim. K-E-8-I-N-E, Mr. Jim, behind enemy lines in the great state of Michigan. Thank you for that. I wanted to make one comment. You know, these guys are burning everything to the ground. All these younger generation, they want anarchy. They want all this. They want to rebuild the world. I'm wondering who's going to rebuild it after they kill everybody out, because they don't have the technology to rebuild this state or the country or the infrastructure. They have no food. They have no job. They have no tech trade. They have nothing. These people are going to create a new world order. Not surprising. All right, with that being said, this is KP4ZXNC here on the Saturday Night Liberty app. I'll take a quick call, see if we have anybody else that would like to join us real quick. And Mr. Bill, you're up next, so stand by. Do we have any other check-ins from the Liberty app coming out? Okay, I'm hearing nothing here on the Saturday Night Liberty app. The gold standard in Liberty. So just remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is the true Liberty Network in here since the early 40s, I believe, is what the actual report said. Hey, good evening, Mr. Bill. KO4FE out of Pennsylvania. Go and take it away, sir.
Okay, KG4ZXZ, Liberty Net, the true net, not the fake net that you might hear operating in other places. This is the true Liberty Net. This is KO4FE. Yeah, Jesse, your signal's way back up. I don't know what happened, but anyway, you're sounding good now, back to normal. Well, anyway, I'm going to continue with this rogues gallery of these riots. We got another one here. Gateway Pundit headline, Portland rioter arrested for double murder. Portland rioter Philip Lawrence Nelson was arrested for a double murder just 1 week after Portland officials let him out of jail for interfering with a police officer. The rioting charges were dismissed, and he was out on the street the next day. 1 week later, he committed a double murder. Nelson was insane and told the couple he was the owner of a building he was squatting in, according to KOIN. The murder may have stemmed from an ongoing dispute between the victims and the suspect. And the victims were Kathy Leighton and Nate Hobbs. Leighton and Hobbs' roommate told police that they were originally renting the unit in a fourplex from Nelson, who claimed to be the owner of the building, according to court records. When the three roommates found out Nelson was actually just squatting there, they changed the locks to their unit, angering Nelson, records state. On the afternoon they were murdered, surveillance video captured Hobbs and Leighton going into the basement of the building where the water control was located, according to court records. The pair came back upstairs, but then went back just a minute later. Shortly after that, surveillance video captured Leighton running out of the basement, stumbling and shouting for help before falling down. Bystanders rushed to her aid, but she did not survive. Both Leighton and Hobbs had been stabbed numerous times, according to the medical examiner. Portland rioter Philip Lawrence Nelson is now a suspect in the double stabbing murder that occurred just 1 week after he was caught and let go by local law enforcement. The original charges against Nelson of interfering with a police officer were dropped the day after his first arrest. In early June, he was released. Kathy Timothy Layton and Nate Hobbs were found stabbed to death in Portland on June 16th after an apparent dispute over the building Nelson had been squatting in. Nelson faces two murder charges and is being held without bail. Nelson is hardly the first or the last left-wing rider to be freed under an unofficial catch and release program by district attorneys in some of America's most violent Democrat-run cities. So anyway, that's the first one. He's in the slammer. No bail this time for this dirtbag for murdering two innocent people. Here's another one. Seattle man arrested by feds for threatening to blow up Portland police station espoused Antifa beliefs. A Seattle man who espoused support for Antifa causes has been arrested and federally charged for threatening to blow up a Portland police station with a plug. Kyle Robert Tornow, 36, is accused of using an online communication system to claim he planted explosives at a Portland police station, according to United States Attorney Brian Moran in a Department of Justice press release on Wednesday. Records filed in the case allege that Tornow used the city of Portland's tracking system, which enables members of the public to create a user account and submit messages to the PPB on July 24th to send a bomb threat. Using the alias Chester Wildwood and his father's phone number, Tornow allegedly wrote, quote, "I am going to bomb a police precinct in Portland, Oregon. The bomb is already in place and has been packaged in a way that prevents detection from canine officers. Unless your officers disengage your war with the citizens of Portland, I will blow up this precinct. You are weak. We are strong, many, and fluid in nature. If I am caught, others will take my place and immediately detonate the bomb. This is a felony threat. Please take this seriously to avoid death." Close, close. Fluid in nature appears to be a reference to the Antifa slogan, "Be water." This is a metaphor for sticking and moving together. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was able to trace the communication back to Tornow using the IP address of the online threat. The criminal complaint also details Tornow's alleged social media post and a now-deleted Facebook post. Tornow allegedly shared a graphic of an anarchist flag popular with Antifa. The accompanying text read, quote, "You must be careful out there and follow black leadership. Anarchy does not mean chaos. It means community care and support," close quote. So anyway, now you got another one. He's arrested for threatening to blow up a police station. All right, we got some good news here. Headline from Breitbart: "Party's over. Trump orders purge of critical race theory from federal agencies." At the direction of President Trump, the White House Office of Management and Budget will move to identify and eliminate any trace of critical race theory in the federal government. This is KO4FE. Critical race theory is the leftist racist doctrine that forms the intellectual underpinnings of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other radical organizations currently engaged in unrest on America's streets. How the hell did something like that ever get into the federal government? That's the question that ought to be answered. It alleges, among other things, that the United States is a white supremacist country and that all white people are guilty of racism, whether they intend it or not. President Trump has brought the issue of far-left indoctrination to the forefront of the national conversation in recent months. It was a major theme of the president's Independence Day speech at Mount Rushmore, in which he condemned far-left theories that defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children, quote-unquote. Russ Mott, director of the Office of Management and Budget, announced on Twitter that the Trump administration will bring any dabbling in such theories by federal government to a swift end. The days of taxpayer-funded indoctrination training to sow division and racism are over, said Mott. Under the direction of President Trump, we are directing agencies to halt critical race theory trainings immediately. According to the text of the memo sent out by the OMB, all agencies are directed to begin to identify all contracts or other agency spending related to any training on critical race theory, white privilege, or any other training or propaganda effort that teaches or suggests that, one, the United States is an inherently racist or evil country, two, that any race or ethnicity is inherently racist or evil. The division, false, and demeaning propaganda critical race theory movement is contrary to all we stand for as Americans and should have no place in the federal government, concludes the memo. So anyway, there you go. Trump's cleaning out that crap. I mean, how it ever got in there is beyond me. And it's probably been there since Obama, maybe even Bush. But anyway, Trump's getting rid of it, and he's got the power to do it. And they're cleaning that mess out. A lot of these subversive diversity groups are probably going to be losing millions of dollars because they just have contracts with all these government agencies to brainwash their employees with this communist propaganda, which is what it is. Critical race theory was created by the communists back in the 50s and 60s, and now it's entrenched, or was entrenched, in the government until Trump got rid of it. We'll see how it goes, but anyway, that's a good first step, and I'll credit Trump for that. So anyway, back to you, Jesse, KG4ZXC and the True Liberty Net. This is KO4FE.
Okay, thank you there. Thank you, Mr. Bell, KO4FE, and the Saturday Night Liberty Net. The gold standard in liberty, ladies and gentlemen. This is KG4ZXC, Jesse here in Pennsylvania, your net control. Let me take a quick standby. Do we have anybody else that would like to check into the net? Go ahead and give me your call.
KG0RSA.
Okay, it is. That narrow left, Jesse.
Oh, that's
that
narrow left,
over.
Okay,
KG0RSA, Mr. Lowe, you want me to, I'll come by anyway and check on you there, Mr. Moe. Good to hear you in there, and always a pleasure. Out of Missouri, that's KG0RSA, and we'll be getting down to you here in just a short, Mr. Moe.
Let's
see. Next on the list, I'm going to go back to John and see if he's still with us. Jim Ford, Juliet Papakilo out of Boone, North Carolina. You still with us out there, Mr. John? I guess Mr. John checked out early.
Jim Ford, too. Victor, Uniform, Mr. Lee out of Richmond, New York.
Can only use the energy still there.
Okay.
of this country, like Mr. Jim always says. And
Thank you.
KD0RFA.
No, here in Nebraska. I'm in Nebraska.
KD0RFA.
Anyway, I don't have much to add. I've been sitting here listening. I agree with just about everything that's said. Anyway, I'll just say 3 cheers and a pray for our President Donald J. Trump. And be sure and pray for him. KD0RFA. Back to yes and over.
Okay,
we can get. But the BLM protesters were met by the peaceful protesters who stand by God and our country. So God bless America, everybody, and that's what we all need to protect. Our freedom, our liberty, our freedom of speech. And with this news media organization, you need to get away from Facebook. You need to get away from Twitter, because all they're doing is censoring your free speech. Oh, by the way, Discovery also cut off funding from using a Discover card to fund money to the Kyle Rittenhouse fund to protect a man who shot the three protesters in Kenosha. So don't use Discover anymore neither. You might as well learn to boycott them just the way they boycott us. With that being said, this is KT4ZXC, the gold standard in liberty, and on the Saturday Night Liberty Net, ladies and gentlemen, going to the top, K-E-8-I-N-E, Mr. Jim, out of Michigan, behind Henry Lyons. You have the podium, sir.
Yeah,
Rhodes Scholars, who the highest office in this land, left their money for that was Cecil Rhodes. He left his money to get this country back for England. So that's why we got a Tory governor from Canada, Whitman, and we had another one just a few years ago from Canada. Greg, what's your name? Granholm. They've infiltrated everything. Now, the other side of this is the giant. This is supposed to be an Israel, and the decent Jews were against it. They wanted it peacefully in Palestine, among the Palestinians. But the Zionists, they started out in 1897 at Basel, Switzerland. You can Google it. You'll see all the pictures of them. Herzl was the guy in the middle. They had little egg-shaped photos all around the main one. There was about 100 of them on that page. You can still get that for me. I had people, I don't do the internet, but I had people do it for me. Anyway, that's where it all started, 1897, where the Zionists, and they connected with the British Crown, who is the biggest drug dealer in the world. I think the opium wars, they never gave up getting the country back, and they both got a different agenda. Netanyahu, in one of their own newspapers, had a picture written in American Free Press, showed a whimsical claim towards the powers with Netanyahu in it. They were behind this. And when people were clapping and treating their locations as the towers were going down, they were all from Israel. And they were let go and went back to their country. So they surrounded even Clinton. Clinton, of course, was the British side. From the Balfour Declaration, but it were the two of the same ones that created Israel also set up the Lusitania to be sunk because Germany was winning World War I. So they had to sucker us into it by 7-6 rounds up, setting up the Lusitania to be sunk, where a lot of stuff has to blow up ammo, and also when they pulled it to work, the escorts left, or the ones that stand called the escorts left, so they knew they were going to be submarines. That was the threat, you know, to the dirty war. Well, the same group, the Zionists and the British Crown, set up the Lusitania with their own people in it to die. And about 1,000 Americans to sucker us into their dirty war. And then from the Balfour Declaration, you can look it up. Some of them will tell you the whole thing. Some of them tell you part of it. But that's how they created the State of Israel. We'll help you take over the world. Give us a homeland. And they were not true Jews. They were Ashkenazis. They were given the Jewish religion because they were so evil by the Khan. It's someplace around Turkey where that all started. And so they usually, a general rule is they usually speak Yiddish rather than Hebrew. The true Jews speak Hebrew and use the Torah. And there's a mix-up about the Talmud. Some of them use it. Now, Jewish for the Preservation of Firearms, he was on Al Strong one time, and he's dead now, but he wrote the laws. He had made a big book for how the Germans got the gun and the parallels. And it shows all the letters in German, also in English on the next page. And so to get the guns, and that's the same thing as being used today in this country. The Bush family is part of the Nazis. They financed the Bolshevik Revolution too. These wars were all about, they don't give a damn about anybody except money and land and power. Anyway, that's be careful with, I mean, I like Trump, I'll vote for him, but his connection with Israel is not good. And actually, if they had the numbers, I would vote for the Constitutional Party. They have candidates for and they're not part of this deception. Anyway, let's see how things go. And pray. K-8-A-N-E, back to that.
Well, you know, it's always amazing to me when I read stories about these dirtbag leftists and how they're able to infiltrate the government. And here's a perfect example here. This is even off of NPR about the San Francisco DA. His name's Chesup Boudin. And in case you don't know who he is the son of Kathy Boudin and David Gilbert, who were communist radicals who were arrested for killing two police officers and a guard in a botched armed robbery back in the late 70s. Well, he's on a campaign against the COVID virus because his father, David Gilbert, is still in jail. He's been in jail for 40 years. But anyway, let me read a little bit of this article. It says in 1981, Gilbert and Chesa's mother, Kathy Boudin, who were radical leftists, were arrested for driving the getaway car in a botched armed robbery of a Brinks truck. Two police officers and a guard were shot to death. Chesa Boudin was 14 months old when his parents started serving time. Now listen to this. He was raised by his parents' friends, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who were part of the radical group, the Weather Underground, who lived underground for years, later became educators, active in education reform. How do these communists do it? They go from being wanted criminals, living underground, being part of a radical, violent communist group, and then suddenly they become educators, from college professors. It's amazing. I mean, somebody must have smoothed the path for that. So anyway, it goes on. Kathy Boudin was released on parole the same year that Chesa Boudin was leaving Yale for Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar. How the hell does this guy end up going to Yale and Oxford? It's mind-blowing. That was in 2003. Chesa Boudin is now one of a growing number of DAs advocating reforms in the criminal justice system to reduce mass incarceration and address the racial and economic inequalities in the system. Yeah, they're always after the same thing. They all want criminals to be let go, and they're always babbling about racism. So anyway, he goes on bellyaching about his father who's in a jail in New York. But it, you know, how does a person like this even get elected? I mean, in San Francisco, I guess I can understand it, but a guy that his parents were put in jail, were communists, they put in jail for being involved in murder, then he gets raised by these nutcase communists, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who were part of the Violent Weather Underground, were wanted criminals. It's just mind-blowing. Well, anyway, here's another one. And this, you know, this is another example why these churches just make me sick. BLM riders destroy and torch St. John's Church in D.C., then are asked to come back and paint race-based murals on the torched church. Can you believe this? Black Lives Matter destroyed and torched the historic St. John's Church in Washington, D.C. in late May. St. John's was designed by noted architect Benjamin Late Trobe to serve Episcopalians in neighborhoods in the western end of Washington. The cornerstone of St. John's was set on September 14, 1815. Beginning with James Madison until the present, every president of the United States has attended a service at St. John's Church. This week, the church will reward lawlessness and destruction. St. John's Church leaders invited Black Lives Matter to paint race-based themes on the boarded-up church this weekend. I mean, the church hadn't even been fixed, and they brought back the people that burned it down to paint murals on the damn church to decorate it. Unbelievable. Here's another one. This is getting off the riots and all the BLM. GOP senators launch probe into failure to deport illegal immigrant accused of killing motorcyclists. Why is it that, again, the government has got to be totally infiltrated by leftists for stuff like this to happen. But anyway, the Republican senators are trying to do something about it. Anyway, Fox News, Republican senators are launching an investigation into how a Mexican illegal immigrant and former recipient of the Obama-era program that shielded immigrants from deportation was never deported despite a history of criminal behavior that allegedly culminated in the deaths of four motorcyclists in July. Senators Chuck Grassley, Kelly Loeffler, Josh Hawley, Tom Tillis, Ted Cruz, Tom Cotton, Joni Ernst, Marsha Blackburn, and Mike Lee wrote to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service and Immigration and Customs Enforcement demanding answers about Ivan Robel Nevejos. Nevejos is accused of killing four members of the Thin Blue Line Law Enforcement Motorcycle Club in July when, according to local outlets, the car he was driving traveled across the center line and hit the motorcycle traveling in the opposite direction. Nevejos is charged with DWI, multiple counts of intoxication manslaughter, and also multiple counts of intoxication assault, according to KHOU Channel 11. That's out of Houston. The Republican senators in their letter noted that this is not the first charges Nevejos has faced. Quote, he has faced previous charges, including resisting arrest in 2013, driving while intoxicated in 2016, and most concerning of all, aggravated assault in 2018, he wrote. We are disturbed by the fact that despite these egregious charges, Mr. Nevejos has been permitted to continue residing in the United States, further endangering our citizens. Reportedly came to the obviously, but with the recipient of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals DACA program, which shielded recipients from deportation. I mean, for crying out loud, what's going on with the Immigration Service tonight? I mean, if they can't deport this guy, I mean, they might as well just close down the department. I mean, this guy killed four people. He's a habitual drunk driver, violent charges, resisting arrest. I mean, what does it take? But yet the government, they're always confused and never able to carry out basic common sense and follow the law when it comes to getting these illegal aliens out of the country. I mean, it's just madness. So anyway, back to you, Jesse, and 73 to everyone. Glad to hear all the check-ins come in. And thanks for running the net tonight for Bob, Jesse. And I'll be calling you about that project I'm thinking about probably sometime tomorrow. But anyway, thanks again, and thanks for all the check-ins. KG4 ZXC and the Liberty Net, this is KO4FE.
Okay, I usually work nights, so I'll
Saturday night nights. But anyway, it was nice to meet you guys, and you will hear from me next week. Take care, 73, and this is KU0, VRT.
Got his ass Well, he got his apartment building got attacked here the other day. Portland, Oregon. Police chief denounced protesters who broke windows and set a fire to the business in the apartment building where Mayor Ted Wheeler lived. Labeling the events an escalation in the street violence the city has endured for months. And here's this mayor that's fooling around with all these Black Lives Matter people, and he's locked to go to his apartment building burned down. The demonstration began Monday and stretched into early Tuesday, targeting Wheeler, who is also the police commissioner. The demonstrators targeted other people who live in Wheeler's building and has nothing to do with the protest. They burning the police, the mayor's apartment building. Oh, Lord, I don't know what that mayor's thinking now, but it shouldn't be too, wake up just a little bit there. We got one more article here. I'll go ahead and do this one regarding this detractor of Putin. Detractor of Putin in Russia is poisoned. Tim H. Hellegard from USA Today. It says toxicology tests performed on samples taken from Russian opposition leader and anti-corruption campaigner Alexei Navalny of showed unequivocal proof of the presence of Soviet-era nerve agent Novichok. Now, I know that the Russians have used that before through the years. They've used several nerve agents on some of the people they've seen and been seen in different groups. The German government said Wednesday Navalny was in an induced coma at Berlin's Charlotte Hospital. He was transferred there last week after he fell ill on a flight from Moscow on August the 20th and was taken to a hospital in the Siberian city of Amisk after an emergency landing. Navalny was the Russian President Putin's fiercest critic. His allies have insisted he was deliberately poisoned, likely by drinking tea by Russian authorities. This is what they use in Putin, in the tea. The Kremlin has rejected the allegations of insurrection. A spokesman for German Chancellor Angela Merkel said in a statement that the German laboratory showed proof that was also used to use a criminal Russian spy personnel Skripal, S-K-R-I-P-A-L, and the Russian officers had treated a palsy in Siberia.
to the fire because the results are reflecting a positive positive. The fire shot is based on the cold incident. A scientist expert for raising concerns about the efficiency of the COVID-19 test. I call it COVID just because I think it's been undercover operation ever since I can remember, so that's why I always say COVID.
the USA, that's for sure. It's just an illegal alien got a meal. Everything else is good between the wall, Walmart or some he might have said Walmart or out to buy something now. He said that Trump, you can smell the Trump supporters before you, you know, all around, you know, just stuff like that. This guy was against, he said we're going to impeach Trump if he gets in there, we're going to impeach him. And this was a guy that was from the FBI agent saying all that stuff. And they've got a couple more other agents, too, that have found out a lot of stuff about them and also that agree with Trump and Comey. And boy, it's a good thing they got Comey and some of those other FBI guys out. They were all liberal Democrats. So I'll let me let this contact go. He may have something good to say there. Go ahead there, contact. Thank you. anybody can come in at any time and they give them all free health care. All of your liberals are for giving them all free health care. Who's paying for all that? Well, it's not going to last very long the way it is. If they continue on doing that. Sanctuary City, that's why we're stopping. Atlantic to the Sanctuary City, I think in New York and California. If they're not going to go by the laws of the land, they stop. They all set their mind. No one's help. That's what should be done for sure. All these liberals, mayors and governors and all have ruined this country. So, people, look at what you've done to the country. It's not going to last. Rule of law, the way it is, it'll be completely changed. We've already said they're going to take their guns away. So anyone that wants their guns taken away, right here, boy, you'll have your guns taken away. And if you let them. So anyway, hopefully everybody in full IOT will be listening.
COVID-19, they get more money, the hospitals do, from the
people that were talking and same symptoms. It was just the respiratory helmet. The helmet may be 20 or 19.
Thank you.
me for sure. Anyway, you were talking to you remember that Wednesday at 10 o'clock is the Liberty Net again. Wednesday and Saturday night at 10 p.m. So tell your buddies and come on in and check in. Jesse and Bob, A-H-J-O-Y is Bob. He runs it a lot of times with Wednesday or Saturday night. And Jesse, that you talked to earlier, in the Net Control a lot of times too. So he's, both of those guys are super guys, and they're good conservatives, and of course if a liberal comes in here and says that whatever they want to say, they're welcome to also. It's not a free country and free speech. That's one good thing about the Net. I think I'm going to go ahead and get a few more things down here and maybe just kind of listen in a little bit of this, see if anybody else comes in, but I think I'll check out for a little while. And good to hear you in there, buddy. I'm glad you got the same conservative views, conservative values, Christian values. Trump is, looking at the Christian, all these liberals, Christian values. That's what's wrong with them. They don't know anything about Christianity. They don't want Christianity to be in our country. So that's one of their